Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, our son Seth was in Tampa a week or so ago. He eats weird. By that I mean he eats kale. And he eats other things I don't know much about. So while he was here, he and I went to the store together to shop for the right things to have in our kitchen during his visit. Well, do you know about Sprouts? I mean, I don't mean Sprouts the store. I love the store Sprouts. I don't know, do you have one in Clearwater? Great place. But do you know about taking beans and putting them in a jar and sprouting them for salads? Do you know about that? Some of you do, I'm sure. So here they are. Those are mung beans and mung sprouts. You see the beans in the upper corner in the jar, and there's some of them that are sprouted. So Seth and I decided that we would see about sprouting some beans for salads, and he suggested what we should get is mung beans, M-U-N-G, mung beans. So we went and got the beans. The first container we found was about this big, and it cost about $14. And I said, I don't think we need that many beans. So I finally found some in one of those bins, you know, where you can dip the shovel in, the scoop in, and get out. And so I got about this many beans, and that was 85 cents. Not that I'm cheap or anything, slightly Scottish. So we got those beans, and I pulled out a jar with a kind of open weave lid so it could breathe, and we set up the beans to make sprouts for our salad. We washed the beans a while and emptied the water out and washed them again and all that, and then put the jar in the refrigerator. And we inspected the jar every day while Seth was here, and there were no sprouts. Now, I really hate to give up on anything. So after Seth left, I decided I would try again. So I took those same beans. Now, maybe I should have started with some different beans. I don't know. But I took those same beans, and I soaked them overnight. And then I left them out of the refrigerator for a while in their jar, but out of the refrigerator. And guess what? They're sprouting. They're sprouting. Go figure. I think you're supposed to read the directions. So let's look at this passage, 1 Corinthians 15. Bev read it so well. Don't we have wonderful sun catchers we can use with their gifts? Paul is talking with the church about what comes next. What's after this life? What comes next? Paul says, someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? And Paul uses the image of a garden where we plant seeds, maybe like beans. You know, beans are seeds. We plant seeds and we hope to grow a useful or beautiful crop. Paul reminds us that what we do is bury the seed to get the desired plant. And he makes two points about that. First, he says the seed doesn't look anything like the plant we are hoping to grow. Now, I know that's true because not only was I trying to sprout mung beans, but I decided to plant some nasturtium seeds a few weeks ago, and that many seeds would fit in the palm of my hand. They're small, and they're lopsidedly round, light-colored seeds. The plants have begun to come up. See my little plant? With these round, kind of lily pad-shaped leaves? And I'm hoping that they're going to produce bright yellow, gold, orange flowers. Nothing like those little white seeds. Nothing like that at all. Look at that. And if you don't believe that really can happen, look at this. There's some in my neighborhood that I walk by when I walk my dog. They're all over the place. They are almost knee high. There they are. When we die, and when we are raised, we may not look like how we look now. And maybe that's a relief to many of us. We like to say that a loved one who could no longer see or hear or run at the end of this life, or maybe never were able to, will be whole in heaven, able to do everything that they could not do here at the time of their death. Besides, we won't be shaped when we get to heaven by age or appearance. We'll be shaped by our spirits, by our souls, by how we reflect the love of God. So Paul also said when we plant seeds that those seeds have to die. They have to be buried down in the earth and covered up in order to produce their new form of life. By this, Paul is partly referring to the seeds being buried in the earth, like the body or ashes of our loved ones may in fact be buried. But he may also be thinking of how very different the new life is from what we planted. As I was thinking about Abby's baptism, I got to thinking about how a newborn infant doesn't look like an elementary age child or the adult that baby and child will become. They will change. In a sense, we are always changing, always being reshaped by God to be what God has planned us to be. So think about this. Sometimes parts of us need to die for us to live the life of faith. Our selfishness, our bitterness, our fear. We give up some of the things that hold us back from God in order for the fruits of God's Spirit to grow and flourish in us. What a blessing that will be as God enables us to grow and change and blossom like the nasturtiums and make a difference in the world for the sake of Christ, not for our own sake, but for the sake of God. So today, we have baptized Abby. She's a child we've come to know and love. Look at that. Look how small she was when I first came. She's a whole lot bigger than that now, and you know her when she was even younger. And I wrote in the sidebar that she loves baby G. Baby Jesus, right? She one time brought him a cookie for Christmas. There she is. She's holding baby G in one hand and the cookie in the other. She said, I brought baby G a cookie. We see the love Abby's family holds for her, and we see their commitment to share their love of Jesus with her. And in this new way in baptism, Abby's family and you, her congregation, have committed this precious child once again to God's care. God's mark is on her. She belongs to God, as we do as well. So what comes next for Abby? That's my sermon title, What Comes Next? What comes next for Abby? Well, kindergarten, I'm gonna guess. And middle school, aren't you excited about that? High school, college, a fabulous, satisfying job. Maybe she'll go into medicine or teaching or the military because she likes to nurture others, care for others, and those might be good avenues, good paths for Abby. And because Abby belongs to God, she has the promise of life everlasting, as you and I do. In John chapter 11, after the death of Lazarus, Jesus said to Lazarus' sister Martha, remember she goes and greets him on the road and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And he says, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she says, I know. But he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We have that promise. In our creeds, we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We have the promise of God. We can hold that promise close and trust ourselves and those we love to God. That's what comes after this. Not too soon, we hope. Sometimes it does come too soon. But to say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, what we know is that our death is not our end. But when God's time has come and our Lord calls us home, we will live the abundant life that Jesus has come to give us all. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, in reading through some of the chapters of 1 Corinthians, we have heard again and again your promises, that you bring us gifts, that you call us to be in the body of Christ together, serving you, that you have shown us what love is, and that you have given us the gift of everlasting life. Help us to trust that gift for ourselves and for those we love, knowing that we will be together with you in the end, all together, in the life everlasting. Amen. Please join me in singing To God Be the Glory, and if you're able to stand, I invite you to do so as we sing. Be seated. As we come with our offerings today, I invite you to give generously and to give with joy, with grateful hearts. For what we bring to God is a token of what God has already given to us, and we can return it to be of service to God in this world.